Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's your girl, Dee Dee Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. And I am here with another episode of The Core Queen Chat. I got two of Charlotte's finest, even though they ain't from Charlotte, on the show today. Some of the best filmmakers that you will ever meet on this side of the Mississippi. I got my boy Trey and Terrence in the building. Welcome.
Thank you.
Look, y'all look like just blackness. blackness. I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to have y'all on the show today. But for those who don't know you, I'm going to introduce y'all a little bit to the people.
Appreciate you.
So I got Trey Daughtry right here. He is the co-creator of the web series Roommates, which recently won Best Comedy Film at the Queen City Culture Film Festival and is now streaming on Vimeo OTT and tomorrow will be on YouTube.
Yeah.
He also co-produced A Season for Love, a feature film written and directed by Air Force veteran. Shout out to the Air Force. which has been selected by multiple, not one, not two, multiple film festivals across the country and has really resonated with his viewers. Y'all is really good. I watched it. Trey currently serves as president of Genesis Creative Entertainment Group, a nonprofit dedicated to empowering diverse voices in film, where he and Terrence are both members. Y'all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I am so happy to have y'all here finally. So how did y'all two meet?
We met on a film project. Walking Contradictions, yeah. Written by our homegirl, Lisa Hanna. And so there's a film guru, if you will, in Charlotte named Tommy Nichols. He's actually the head of the Charlotte Black Film Festival.
And he had a
meetup group. And we all went to that meetup group. And that was one of the projects that we ended up shooting, Walking Contradiction. And my man knew what he was doing on set. And we kind of just clicked. And the rest is history. I mean, a lot of us kind of clicked and we kept doing what we do.
That's what's up. See, I need to come outside more because I didn't know none of this was happening out here in Charlotte. So that is so cool to even know, because I actually, the director for my film, he was asking me like, Charlotte Black Film Festival, been here all my life. I've never heard of it. I'm I'm gonna need you to get it together and let me know what's going on in these streets. So
yeah, they've been at it for a while. I think he's
This is 15.
This is 15. 15. Been for 15 years.
Wow, yeah, he's been at it for a while.
Yeah,
big up to him. He's been at it for a while.
Absolutely, I'm excited for it. It was June 5th to the 8th, so I'm excited for this year's festival. So I get to meet some of these great people that you mentioned.
Yeah.
So what inspired you two to get into the film industry, like just making film? What inspired you?
Well, for me, it's a long story. I was gonna let you go, Terrence, but go ahead.
For me, since I was a kid, I always had a camera in my hand. Mm. So I knew it was something I wanted to do. I didn't know what lane I was taking up until college and after the military, where I really took it seriously, started making like narrative shorts and stuff like that. But I've had a camera in my hand since I think the first time I actually made a project was a family vacation. We went to Disney and I was running around documenting all of us about our experience. And I knew from then that this is what I was going to do.
Okay. So, did you by chance go to college for it or no?
I did.
You did? Yeah.
So I'm a mass comm major up at SUNY Oneonta in New York State.
Oh, look. Okay, black man. That's what I'm talking about. Now, what's this long story, Trey?
Oh, man. Yeah. So I grew up.
Wait, hopefully it ain't no Diddy type story.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. Yeah, I grew up in, you know, like the DMV, PG County, Maryland, DC, that whole area. So I grew up actually hip hop, rapping, things of that nature, mm-hmm. Trying to do that. It's hard to do it in DC because go-go is everything. Mm. Everything. But I fell in love with lyrics really early. Mm-hmm. It was an escape from my life at the time. And between Star Trek and rapping, that's what I was doing.
That's very polarizing. Star Trek. I wasn't expecting Star Trek.
Hey, I'm a big Trekkie. Okay. But live long and prosper. There you go. There you go. Anyway, so grew up rapping with my man Roger. We had a group in high school and kind of mm-hmm. went around performing everything, and then got into the military, Marine Corps, and was still doing my thing. But at some point I decided that I was more in love with the story part of hip hop, really telling stories and then getting those on visuals. Wifey like brought me a camera so I could shoot some visuals for one of my songs, and I end up just falling in love with it. Went to a casting call for a video in Savannah, mm-hmm. and was just sitting there. Was one of the extras. It was a black church. It was a country song video, mm-hmm. and it was just a vibe with all the black people on set. And you know how we do some one of the young ladies start singing an old gospel song, and the whole set just starts singing along. This ain't part of nothing that's going on,
right?
But meanwhile, I'm watching everybody move around, the people behind the scenes. I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know what they're doing. And you know, one thing led to another. I'm a avid book reader and audio book person. Mm-hmm. And just start learning the craft and falling in love with story. So I fell in love with story. And then it was like, okay, it's time. And made my first short back in 2018.
Oh, okay.
Called Listen. And it's just been an obsession ever since.
All right. Look, I love it. I love when people have a passion for something.
Oh, yeah.
It's super dope to see it, especially with something that you can see come to life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys both have. So I watched Roommates. Child. let me just say something about Roommates. So it's funny that I just watched it because the other day on The Breakfast Club, mm-hmm. they had a whole topic about when women get in relationships and they just ghost their friends. Like they just, like it was a whole topic. Yeah. And I've had these conversations with my friends. It's like, well, dang, you don't know me no more. Like, what the heck? Like, how'd we get here? So watching it was like, is this art imitating life? So it was very enlightening and just like, yep, this happens. And the crazy thing is with the social media era, it's like, things happen so fast.
Right.
And the film was really like showing how quick, and I'm going to say women, I think women just move fast. And then of course,
Y'all do.
We move way too fast. You say one sweet nothing. It's like, oh my God, we in love. We getting married. Like we don't need much evidence. We just need you to say it. We in there. So watching that, it was just like, oh yeah, he definitely nailed it. Yeah. This is definitely what happened. Yeah. And it was funny. It was over the top and just like, now say your name again, sir. What?
yeah,
that was good. That was funny.
I appreciate it. Now, we had a lot of fun making that. My homeboy, Bola, me and him wrote it together. Met him up in, he lives in Charlotte as well, mm-hmm. but we met him at a film festival in New Jersey.
Atlantic City,
okay. New Jersey, for actually that film that we worked on together, that first film, Walking Contradiction.
Oh.
And crazy stuff. Anyway, we start noticing, like, he's showing his film, we're like, it's some of the same actors. Like, and he's like, you know, and he's like, yeah, I'm from Charlotte, and shout out to, once again, my homegirl, Lisa, her brother threw us an after party at a club up there to remember. I mean, bottle girls and music. It's Atlantic City already.
Oh yeah.
And he's the type of person. You ever been one of the people that got a battery in their pack?
Yeah.
In their back, they just got so much energy.
Yeah. My homeboy Trey.
Yeah, it was a memorable night, and we became friends after that and just start having all these conversations because he's originally from Nigeria, and
of course he is.
and you know, I grew up in the DC area, and there's just some differences, you know, in the diaspora. You know, as much as we are learning and getting back together and being close, there's some differences in the diaspora. Yes. And we had such a fun time. We're like, man, we talking about it. We was like, man, we need to put this on paper. And when we start, you know, writing scenes, and there was times when there was some things that he wanted to do. And I was like, yeah. I was like, black women got to love us. I was like, it's comedy's a thin line because you laugh at some things that you should be crying about. Like, that's comedy. So I was like, but it was fun. And on set was fun. Like, it was ridiculously fun. But then there's that, because, you know, I'm an editor as well. And it was that hard part of kind of getting everything that happened on set to come across on screen.
Okay.
And so I had to teach myself to how to edit comedy because it's different.
Oh yeah.
Finding those punchlines and the actors. Shout out to Terry Montrell, the female lead. Mm-hmm. Jess Johnson, the roommate, her first roommate. our landlord, Chris Sessions. Who's actually also a DP now. And who am I forgetting? Marcus Wright, who was the friend that was a boy. And
Portia
Petaway, was his love interest. and the whole Genesis Creative Entertainment Group. I could start naming individuals, but like everybody came through and kind of helped with that. So
that's dope.
It was love.
Okay, that's dope. Now let's talk about A Season for Love.
Here we go.
OMG. Okay. Now first, okay. Listen, at first I was like, okay, this is just going to be a really nice, sweet love story.
Mm-mm, we don't do that.
And then it just took a turn. I was like, well, wait a minute. You ain't going to tell him. I'm just yelling at the screen. I'm like, no, don't do that. Like,
then it did what it was like, supposed to do.
It definitely did. I thought that the actors were top notch. Yes. I thought they were amazing. Mm-hmm. They really did great.
Yeah.
It was a good film.
Shout out to Tori Tillman, who he plays Malik, and Danielle Renee Houston, who plays Sam. Two of the best out here.
Their chemistry was on point.
It
was on point.
Yeah.
Especially after I just watched freaking whatever. I can't even think of the name of the damn movie now. Everybody's talking about it.
Forever.
Oh, yeah. After watching it, I'm like, yo, that chemistry.
It was good.
Definitely. I thought it was great. It was just a good film. It was. It kept my attention. I was trying to watch it on my phone. People kept calling me. I'm like, I'm watching this movie. Bravo.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I mean, there's some stuff in there to get people talking. It's definitely not just run-of-the-mill romantic comedy. It's definitely some things in there to get you talking, for sure. That's what the goal was.
Definitely some controversy in there. Yes, it is.
we've screened that movie two or three times.
Three times in Charlotte.
Yeah. And every time it's been packed, and every time it's been a lot of good feedback.
Yeah.
It's been a sensational. And then we screened it up at which college was that?
We went to Winston-Salem State.
And love the students, man. Love the students. Because they were laughing at parts. You know, and worried about, like, we didn't even think of.
It's a generational gap, right?
Yeah.
When we screened it here, it's a more mature audience. Mm-hmm. And then you forget, I forget how young college kids actually are.
Right.
And, you know, it's a love story. So when you realize that kids that young haven't really been, don't really know what love is yet, mm-hmm. the questions that I was getting were, very interesting to see that generational gap. So okay. I found that really interesting.
It was cool. They were locked in though. They were so locked in. It was great.
That's what's up.
Great experience.
So how did you come up with the storylines for these two films?
Well, for A Season for Love, you know, I wanted something that was dramatic that still, you know, had a very dramatic beat to it and could be triggering, but didn't show Black people in a negative light, right? Like, I think too often we see Black men portrayed as thugs or crime bosses, and I really wanted to get away from that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get away from the Black woman who just needed help, right? That's why she plays a doctor, and mm-hmm. he's a filmmaker, he's an artist. You know, they're working to become at the top of their craft, and there's nothing financially or there's no struggle that's weighing them down. I think that was really important to me to highlight that, yes. while also trying to keep a dramatic and thematic tone throughout the movie, and create some controversy as well. So uh-huh. that's where the storyline came from. Is like, you know what, I really wanted to, you know, reconnect with those films I fell in love with in the 90s, like Love Jones,
yep. Poetic Justice. That's what right? it felt like. Yes.
But thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yep. And for me, it was like, how do we do that, but keep it modern and, you know, just keep it fresh, keep us looking and feeling, you know, like just Black excellence. And
that is so appreciated.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I am wore out on the struggle film. Sorry, TP. Yeah. I am wore out. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
It's just, that's so refreshing.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I do understand that is a lot of people's reality, right? Yeah. So those stories do need to be told. There's a lane for that. But I think we can't oversaturate that market and forget that there's an entire side of Black people that exists,
and
that live.
I appreciate that part has been highlighted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we've seen it over and over and over. Now, can we show that there is redemption in that? Can we show that there is another side of that? Like, I don't want, just because that's somebody's story doesn't mean we have to keep telling it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
So I think that's where the, we got a call. Okay. We got somebody calling in with a question.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Y'all in trouble. No,
this should be interesting.
Caller, what's your name? What you got?
Hi, my name is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Y'all must know Lisa. Y'all cheesing.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. We got some.
Just to support my brothers from Genesis Creative TV Group. Just wanted to show love, support, let them know that we were here watching, and we're happy to join in the conversation in any capacity needed, or join in the group chat, or anything like that.
Well, we appreciate it, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Lisa.
Make sure you tell everyone watching how they can follow Genesis on Instagram and Facebook and our website.
Listen, one thing Lisa
gonna do. Sure, oh yeah, I'll give y'all a chance at the end to tell everybody that. Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
have a good one.
Too.
How did you come up with the storyline?
Oh yeah, so roommates. Like I said, when me and Bola kind of met and started talking about, you know, how we were going to do it, and we were like, "What's the most awkward situation we can put them in?" And we were like, "Hey, let's take a modern Black female with all y'all ideas about the world and how it should be, and pair her with a very traditional African man from Nigeria who has his own views mm-hmm. on how the world should go. And let's just watch that magic happen." and we got our first, our AD, Rigo Nova, and we got our DP, Brent, for that. And like I said, it's just a blessing, man. Mm-hmm. It's a huge blessing. I thank God for it. And that's how it came about. We pitched that, you know, we pitched that idea to people, and we were like, "Oh, that's gonna be good."
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you believe that relationship and friendship trauma is addressed enough?
In general, it's not. I don't think relationship trauma is addressed enough. I don't think that romantic or friendships are drama or trauma is addressed. The trauma is not addressed.
I think you see the trauma, but I don't think it's ever resolved, right? So I think the worlds are created in that trauma, and for some reason, we never see characters get out of it. You know what I mean? So I think that's what the issue is. You could point to plenty, plenty of stories where the trauma exists, but kind of more what we were talking about before, if you're going to write that type of story, you got to write a solution. You know what I mean? You can't live in it. And I think that's my issue with it.
Okay. That makes sense. I agree with that.
Yeah. You can't live in it. But I think so many people are attracted to the drama of it.
Absolutely.
That they overlook the trauma, like what's going to be with this person after this thing is over. Because that's the lasting effect of trauma. It's like, I always call it like a punch, right? So somebody can punch you in your face and the punch is over, but you know what? It's going to sting for some time.
Right.
And that's the trauma. That's the trauma of it. So we try to look at, like I said, things that'll make you cry and try to look at it in a comical way. Mm-hmm. Right? And I did not expect so many people to be so upset with her roommate. Like her first roommate, like people, there was a lady in our first time we screened it. She came out. She's like, is that actress here? And decided not to come, but she was really mad. I was like, okay, all right, we got something here. You know, I had dated, young ladies that had roommates and things that happened and dad told me about and they got married and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to explore that a little bit. So,
Just going to leave her. Like, that's crazy.
And I've seen that happen, like,
like
a few times. I got a homegirl in Baltimore. It wasn't so traumatic, but it felt like that to me, like being somebody that was calling her from time to time and talking on the phone. Mm. And like one day, homie was living there, and then the next day,
they out.
And you know, this is before like texting and all that. Right. This is back when you had to have a long distance phone call to call somebody. So, it was about a week or so before I got another, phone call. And I'm like, at the last phone call, she was there. Now she packed her bags and gone. So,
yeah. Oh, lived experiences. Lived experiences. Wow. So there were, I think we kind of talked about it a little bit, but there were some very triggering moments in the season for Love. Was that intentional?
Yeah, most definitely was intentional. Again, not to intentionally, make people feel triggered, but really to start conversation. Mm. So there's a couple scenes in the film that are really gonna, it's funny because as we screened it, people get really mad or they're very happy. They're either happy it happened or they're upset it happened, right? It's really no in between.
Yeah.
But a beautiful thing happened, especially if you get to see it in the theater. Or with a group of friends, is that at the end of the movie, that scene always comes up and there's always a dialogue, mm-hmm. right? And everyone always gets a chance to meet in the middle about, I don't want to ruin it, right. I want you guys to see it. But basically, what happens is it's a conversation that happens afterwards and people start to understand people's point of view, right? And I think that was my main reason for putting it, because in the original script, it wasn't in there.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. It was a different conflict.
Right. Okay.
But when we looked at it, we were like, to me, I was like, this doesn't give me a feeling of what I wanted. And when I talked to Trey about it, because Trey's the producer on it, I was like, man, I want this film to play in theaters, and I want people to go leave the theater and have a conversation about it. I don't want you to just, because there's too many movies where I go watch, that was cool,
right.
And go home.
Right.
This one, I wanted to force them to stop and really think about what was happening and why did this bump happen in their journey. And why it happened that way.
Yeah. Right. It definitely causes a conversation.
And shout out to Terrence. He was adamant about that because originally I was against it. I'm like,
oh, that was necessary.
Yeah.
It was absolutely necessary.
Yeah, he, that's what you do when you're a creator and you have a strong vision. You fight for that point because I was against it. And then even when we were shooting it, there were some, there's a couple of scenes in there that are really visceral. I'm like, okay, what rating are we gonna get here? Like, but he did the smart thing and talked to the women on the crew.
Yeah.
And
I think, whenever you are a man who I was directing a film like that. One, I had intimacy coordinator, Portia Pettaway, who plays one of the characters in Roommates. She's an intimacy coordinator. And for those who don't know, that's the person that's on set to make sure if, you know, there's any sex scenes, anything that's truly intimate, right? You want somebody there that's going to be a liaison for your cast and make sure they're comfortable, right? Because there's things I may want as a director, but again, my cast needs to be comfortable.
Right.
One, two, I need to understand I'm a man, so I know what my point of view is in that situation, but I can't think like a woman, right?
Right.
So it's important to have that point of view so she can come to me and say, all right, I see you want to do it this way, but think about this. So, you know, I think that's very important, especially for scene. And it's not just sex scenes. It's the scene we're talking about, which is highly emotional, right?
Yes.
I had to consider that and consider her feelings and going through that. And for it to play as long as it did, it was like, okay, it's an intentionality to that.
Yeah.
One, you know, I want the audience to feel uncomfortable. Two, I'm trying to elicit emotion, but I also got to make sure my actress is okay.
Okay. It was genius. I thought it was genius. Yeah. Because I was throwing stuff. No. So, I think you guys kind of alluded to it earlier with like the kind of circle you have here in Charlotte, and I'm not really familiar with that yet. Hopefully I will be. But how has the Charlotte film industry experience been for you?
Oh man, I love it. So, and feel free to jump in because I'm gonna miss some names here. So Charlotte is a wonderful place to be right now for film. I mean, the energy is so high. There's so many creators doing so many awesome things. Mm-hmm. So our organization, Genesis Creative Entertainment Group, we kind of work like a film guild, if you will. So we all have our own individual projects we work on. We have actors, writers, directors, DPs, and editors, and we all kind of work together on each other films.
Yeah.
And that's what in Genesis, and then we work and partner with other groups as well. And I call it the film gangs of Charlotte, right? Like there's so many groups. You got Ty Durden and his team that have done so many films that you can find on Tubi, Amazon, what have you. You have Screw Up TV. They are a comedy troupe that does sketch comedy. They have one or two films. They have Ogden, and they have another film on Amazon.
Yeah.
You have
Andrew Smith and what he's
Andrew
doing.
Smith. He's partnered with the Independent Picture House, and they're going around to different sites and doing Indie on Wheels, I think it's called.
Yeah. And he's got his mental health in films. It's really, if you get a chance, definitely go. I think he's actually doing one tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Definitely go check it out. What he's doing is pretty
dope. him and Fred Forte
from Third Day Films. Yeah.
What? Yeah, that's another Fred. This is another
different Fred.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then you got Fred from Third Day Films. Mm-hmm. They got a film that's coming up that's going to be at Arsley. Was it on the 6th or the 7th?
I think the 7th. I just think, you know, in Charlotte, it's such a, you know,
don't forget Q.
Yeah, and Q. I think what makes Charlotte unique is that it's a good sized city, but the filmmaking community is not that big. Mm-hmm. So we all know each other. We all collaborate, you know what I mean? And we all just share information, which is a beautiful thing, right? Yeah. Like I had the opportunity to work on, because I'm not only a director, I'm a DP as well. So I DP'd Q's, Quentin's film, Bloodlines. And that experience opens you up to a different mindset of filmmaking, how he does things. And you know what's cool is that I can call him, say I'm working on this, and we can just compare notes, you know what I mean, and we're making each other better. And same with Ty, same with Drew, and just everybody here, it doesn't feel like you're competing here. I mean, there's some of it, right? Because competition makes you better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we all want each other to win,
right?
You know what I mean? I think that's the energy you don't really get anywhere else, or I haven't seen.
And
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's inspiration, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw Quentin's film Bloodlines, it was like, oh, I'm getting back in the lab. Let's go. that film was so good that it's like that's why it's like hip hop to me. Like when I was rapping or we had a freestyle or something like that, and somebody really had a good night on the stage, it just made you want to be that much better,
right?
And that's how the film scene here in Charlotte is. And you have There's like, one or two, like three or four, like really good female directors that are coming up too. Mm-hmm. Portia, who's the intimacy coordinator. She just directed a film. And you got, like I said, Chris, that was the landlord on our film. She's a DPing now. And it's a great time to be a filmmaker in Charlotte. Like, and I that's why I call it the film gangs. It feels like Warriors? Remember the old 70s movie Warriors about all the gangs?
No, making it I don't remember the old 70s film Warriors, sir.
Listen, so there's a film made in the 70s called The Warriors. It was like, Warriors, come out and play.
Oh, man. No.
Anyway. There's a lot of film going on in Charlotte right now, a lot of good film. So
and we're bringing big industry. Like just this summer, I think Channing Tatum was here filming something. So the town is starting to be known by Hollywood, which as a crew base here, we're able to get on those bigger productions as well. So shout out to Charlotte.
That's what's up. Come on, Charlotte, let's go.
Yeah, and I guess the good thing is to say that it's coming back. You know, apparently I wasn't here in the early 2000s, but people say, it was a lot of stuff filmed here in the early 2000s, some shows and things of that nature. So,
it's
coming back.
I thought you was talking. You over there co-signing.
He was agreeing.
The eight men corner over there.
appreciate you.
So are there any either local or like A-list filmmakers or directors or actors that you would love to work with?
Local, I work with anybody, we're so tight knit here and we kind of know everybody that, we all work with each other, but I love what Fred Forte for Third Day Films is doing. I really want to connect with him. We haven't connected on the project yet. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to get up with him for sure. We talk, so, we know we got something coming. It's just timing for me.
So I just recently through Trey McGriff, who's another one of those great filmmakers and film leaders, similar to Tommy Nichols. He had a film Odyssey, Cine Odyssey Film Festival, which is now the first black animated. Excuse me, I think it's the first animated film festival period on the East Coast, if not the first period, but definitely. The first one led by a black man. Okay. And they just had that. And through him, I met Calvin Brown Jr., who is a local writer and filmmaker who, went off and did great things. He was like one of the executive producers on Proud Family and wrote on Married with Children and just did some great things. And he's actually from Charlotte. So I just had a chance to meet him maybe a few weeks ago. Along with Trey McGriff and him, there are people I would love to work with, and look forward to possibly trying to work with in the future. So Charlotte got a lot of talents here, and I think, I think the older generation who are, still leading the charge that are introducing us to the greatness here, that we didn't even know was here. So, as they say, standing on the shoulders of giants.
Right.
So.
Okay. What's up? So what advice would you give an aspiring filmmaker?
In such a changing landscape as filmmaking, to don't wait. Too often people are like, oh, I need more money. I need this piece of gear, or I want this actress. The reality is no one's waiting for you. So don't wait. You got a story, tell it. It don't matter how many, the amount of platforms and way to get your content out there, your movie out there, it's more than we ever had, right? So just make it, just shoot it. Your first one's never going to be great, fantastic, right? But it's all about getting that first one done and building momentum. Right. So just don't wait.
Hold on 1 second. We got a call. Hey, caller, how you doing? And what's your name? What you got?
Robert. I'm with Genesis O. And
we can't hear.
I had a question for Terrence, maybe about some of the distribution challenges they experienced with the season for Love.
So A Season for Love went on a festival circuit, and thankfully we were able to network and connect with a sales agent. So early on in the process, I had a sales agent who was my middleman between talking to different distributors. And for those who don't know this, a film to get distribution, you need a distributor who takes it out to the platform. Now you can self-distribute this program. There's websites like Film Hub, BitMax, where you can put it on platforms yourself. And you know, that decision is a, you know, it's a personal decision to decide if you want to go that route or go with a distributor. In my case, I decided to go with a distributor because of the contacts they have. Mm-hmm. For me, I know that they can go to different, you know, streaming services and production companies directly. Like they have that, they have those contacts, where with Film Hub, you don't really know. Once you put it on there, it's up to the website to decide where it's going, right? So for me, I was lucky enough to get my film in the film festivals, which got the attention of different distributors. Mm-hmm. So I was able to negotiate a pretty good deal for myself, to where I felt like in the beginning, I just wanted my money back, right? I wanted my money back, and I want the movie to be seen. So I was able to structure my deal to where even before release, we made our budget back, which is rare, very rare. And then, you know, the structure of the deal and all the platforms is going on worked out. Now, I think we were having a conversation before we aired about, you know, sometimes your distributor doesn't know how to market certain content. And it's really, you know, you have to kind of have to play the game, but also stand firm on what you want. I think that's the issue with distribution nowadays, is that gone are the days of where someone's going to market your film. Or they're going to throw you what's called P&A, print and advertising money. If you don't have, you know, if Michael B. Jordan's not in your movie, forget about it, right?
Yeah.
So you got to, I would say, no matter if you decide to go self-distribution route with Film Hub or go through one of these smaller distributors, I think you want to have money for a budget. My suggestion personally, you know, I'm not a finance guy, but my suggestion is if you're spending $15,000 to $20,000 on a movie to make it, you want to make sure you have $15,000 to $20,000 to market it. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you that much or more, right? Yeah. So, you know, luckily when we were in the pre-production stage, we thought about that. Mm-hmm. So we have money for, you know, social media ads, for our pre-order, which we're at now, through all the way through all our different windows. So, you know, distribution is one of those things, man. You got to just think about where you want the movie to go, where you want it to be seen, and how far you're trying to take it, truthfully.
I think that caller sounded like Rob. Robert is another one of our members who is he's like our Alfred Hitchcock of the group. So
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, he's into like psycho thrillers and strange stuff. He's got a couple of films out. Reflection of Evil is on Amazon right now. Mm-hmm. And Jester is we haven't released Jester yet, but that's coming up next.
Okay.
And yeah, that's the scary, strange person in the group. strange storyteller. He's a great guy, but strange storyteller.
Okay. All right.
What was the...
The question was, what advice would you give an aspiring filmmaker? What is this evil laugh?
Because I think Terrence gave the politically correct answer. So I'm gonna twist it up a little bit. So I'm going to say, well, no, I'll stay on that. I was like, if you want to do something, do it, but study it. Like, don't just do it. Like, don't... It's great you got a story to tell. Everybody does. Figure out how to tell your story. There's a 100,000 books out there that you can go read.
That's true.
You can start with Save the Cat, which is a great book about the structure of stories. Robert McKee is another. He'll explain to you what scenes are. So a lot of times, like, we need to make sure that we're putting good stories out there. And stories that can hold people's attention. And stories that put a message out there, because whether you want to or not, you're putting a message out. And you may be thinking that you're just telling a story about, you know, a drug dealer or whatever, and I'm not knocking those stories, but you're putting that, I'm big on, you know, energy and spirituality and God. Like when you sit down and start creating, you are putting yourself in that place where you're telling a story, mm-hmm. and you're responsible for the story you're telling. Mm-hmm. I had a good talk with some great actresses and actors in Charlotte, and people care what their name is attached to, mm-hmm. because once it's out there, it's out there.
Oh yeah.
So if you're going to be a storyteller, understand that you have that responsibility, mm-hmm. To tell a good story, to add something to the culture of filmmaking, mm-hmm. And tell a good story. Study the craft, because you're responsible for it. Then go do it. Don't let anything stop you. Go do it. If you want to make a film, go do it. Hurry up to the mistakes, mm-hmm. because the one yeah. thing that people have on you
yeah.
that are doing it is that they're failing every day. Mm-hmm. And it's not the successes. It's not the red carpets. It's not any of those things that make you good. It's those mess ups and those failures that make you win.
And so, I would say network across. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, it's competitive.
Right.
It is, right? And a lot of times we just want to get to that next ring on the ladder, right? I want to make that mid-budget film. I want to make that million-dollar film. And we forget, we're neglecting people that's right next to us, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. I think Issa Rae has a saying, find your people,
yeah,
right?
Man.
Your people are right next to you. They're not up.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Very seldom are people actually reaching down and pulling people up. It doesn't, yeah. like, ooh, people, it's a dream that we all wish, right?
Mm.
Like, but in reality, that person that's going to get you to the next ring on the ladder is right next to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So don't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. Build ladder. Man, Issa Rae could write a whole sermon on that. I'm actually reading her book right now. Mm-hmm. That's 100% right. Like who's left or right to you? Like who can do a thing? Like when we got married, my wife was big on that. She's like, I'm not paying all these people when I can pay people in my family to do it. She's like, who can make a cake?
Right.
All right, come here. Who can DJ?
Right.
All right, you come over here. Yeah. All right, pastor? Family pastor? All right, cool.
Exactly.
And that's how it's got to be, especially in our community and mm-hmm. Other places. Like, if I need a set designer, I'm calling Ife Nellens. Mm-hmm. If I need, AD, I'm calling these are the people that I mm-hmm. know who are also working on their craft as well. So,
right.
yeah, build laterally. Like, it's people right here in Charlotte.
Yep.
And nothing against Atlanta or any other place, but people fall in love with these names. Shout out to Atlanta. I'll be down there showing the film in a couple of weeks. But build where you at. Build laterally.
Yeah, so, I agree with that. All right, these last two questions, I ask everybody that come on my show these same two questions.
Okay.
So, what is the best advice you've ever received?
Man, that's a good question. That I'm running my own race.
Hmm.
Shout out to my mother. That's my mother.
Mom Dukes.
Because, you know, again, you can look at somebody and say, oh, damn, we're the same age. We start at the same time. Look where that person's at, right?
Yes.
And you can get discouraged very easy. And for me, I always remember that saying, hey, you're running your own race. You're not competing with anybody. Like, it's in God's time for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
That's what my best advice is, something I think about daily and running my own race.
That's good. So. What about you, Trey? And no Marine shit.
Hey, it was going to be Marine Corps or Army. I'm thinking like, what was it? So a lot of people have told me a lot of great things over the years, and I don't want to like name anybody to like. All right, this is gonna sound corny, but when I was growing up, there was a thing called and the guys, you in the sports, you probably know there used to be a running back competition in the NFL, and it was called Run Till Daylight. And I've always remembered that title because it's helped me out so many times in life. When it's getting dark, and when you're in a dark place or times are hard, just run till daylight. Keep running. You'll see daylight eventually. Mm. It can't always be night.
Come on here. Now. Unless you're in Alaska. No, I'm joking.
True. 6 months, 6 months of darkness.
That's good. Yeah.
But no, run to daylight. I think that one stuck with me.
Okay. Last question. What advice would you give your 15-year-old self?
You say you just seen forever? I was lost like Justin Swift. At 15. Damn. 15. Yeah, I would just that, you know what? Keep doing what you're doing. You'll figure it out. Because I was, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, what I wanted to do. So just keep doing what you're doing. It's okay to be weird. It's okay to, you know, it's okay to be you and unique, and you'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-oh, Trey was doing some bullshit. Trey, what was you doing?
I don't know, man. So 15, I don't even know if that would be the right age to talk to me.
That's why we can talk to you.
Yeah.
So I probably tell myself, you picked the right girl.
Oh, I like that. That's a first. That's good. That was good. Look at you, slickster. Hey, wifey. Yes, ma'am.
I see what
you're
doing.
Yeah, I like that. That was good. That matters a lot.
No, it does.
A lot. Yeah.
Oh, it does. It does so much. I mean, shout out to my wife, Vivian. Love you. Yes. You know, again, we are micro budget filmmakers at the end of the day with families. With me, yeah. I have a 2-year-old daughter at home.
Aww.
And to be out on set months at a time, you know, she holds it down for sure. So
Shout out to the wife.
Picking the right girl.
Yeah. Shout out to my wife Tasha as well. She's the one who you asked earlier, you know, how did I get into filmmaking? She's the one that really kept me going. She was like, you love that. Keep doing it. So when I retired and it's like, hey, what are you going to do? And she's like, oh, you're going to make films. She's like, that's what you love. Go do it. And a lot of my gadgets that I got is she brought them, birthdays and stuff like that. So
that's so dope.
Oh, 15, you got the right one, so stop being stupid. and don't do stupid stuff.
So there you go.
Oh my gosh.
That's what's up. I love it. Y'all were so freaking awesome, so inspiring. Your films are amazing. I'm so proud of y'all. I love seeing Black men doing great things. So keep doing what y'all doing. Put me in one of your films.
Shameless plug.
And this is the portion of the show where you can tell people how to follow you, how to find your films, whatever you need to tell the people, tell the people. That's your camera right there.
Okay. Well, first I want to say thank you so much for having us here.
Sure.
And we are immensely proud of you because you're doing your thing.
Thank you.
And all the great things you got going on with the acting. I know you got the book dropping. So we really, really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
And giving us this platform. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I think Lisa called in earlier. I'll try to run it down. Help me out if I miss anything. Genesis Creative Entertainment Group. You can find us. You can Google Genesis Creative Entertainment Group and you'll find us. IG, socials, all that. My social is Ride Out Kid and Roommates 2025 and Roommates series. They both have, it has their, its own socials. It's streaming right now on Vimeo OTT, but tomorrow it's going to be on YouTube. We're going to drop it there. And you'll be able still to go to Vimeo OTT to buy the whole package. Cause people are telling us they want to binge it. So they'll be able to purchase it on Vimeo OTT at a reduced price when you buy the whole package. And it'll be on YouTube tomorrow and streaming on different socials. So, yeah, Roommates is a thing. It's about to do great things, and it's about to do great numbers.
Yeah, now, man, for me, my personal Instagram is Terry_Altair. My film, A Season for Love, is at A Season for Love Film on Instagram. And you could on Facebook, just search A Season for Love Film. It'll pop up. June 3rd, it releases on June 3rd on major streaming platforms. So, you know, YouTube, Google+, or Google Play, Apple TV Plus, Fandango, anywhere where you can buy Rent, you'll find it there. June 3rd, it's available for pre-order right now on Apple TV and Fandango at home. So please go ahead and hit that pre-order link for me. Show your support for, you know, indie cinema. Thank you for having us. I'm super excited. Please go watch the movie.
Yes. Please go watch the movies. Please. You will not be disappointed. It's amazing. I promise you. And call me because I want to talk about it.
A lot of discussion going on.
Please call me. I got some things to get off my chest. Yeah. Y'all know who I am. I'm Dee Dee Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. I appreciate y'all for watching my show. I need y'all to go on my YouTube channel, subscribe, like, share it, leave a comment, tell your people about the Core Queen chat. If you want to be a guest on my show and I like you enough, I might bring you on. I'll think about it. But I got a few things coming up. Of course, you can pre-order my book right now. It's on my website, thecorequeen.com/book. Please go and pre-order from my website. Thank you. I appreciate it. It will drop on June 3rd. It will be completely available on Amazon. The ebook and the paperback will be available. June 3rd is also my official book launch party. I have DJ Chuck T, who will be on the ones and twos. I have my friend, Dr. Ina, who wrote the foreword for my book, who will be there as my moderator for my Q&A session. We'll have food catered by Good Eats Catering, and we will have a videographer and photographer to come and take your pretty pictures for the event as well. So please come out. And I actually have a surprise celebrity guest coming. I'll tell y'all in a week who it is. Maybe I'll think about it. But y'all come out and enjoy the festivities. And also June 5th to the 8th is the Black Charlotte Film Festival. My film that I produce and I'm the lead actress in, Dee's Night, will be screened. So please, if you have time, come out and see the films, all the films, please come out and see them. We have some amazing films being screened that weekend. And also if you need a fitness coach to unbig your back, I'm your girl. I got you. The Core Queen. Follow me. Find me. All platforms. You can follow me, Dee Dee Leggett, on all platforms. You can Google me, The Core Queen. You'll find me. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Please make sure y'all follow these amazing men and watch their films, buy their films. I'm going to buy a season for love because I'm going to watch it again. And we're going to have this conversation. People, somebody call me because I got some stuff to talk about.
Okay? I'll come back. I'll come back. We can have a conversation.
Yes. Definitely. We need to. Yeah. But I appreciate y'all, and I'll see y'all next Wednesday, same time, same place. We out.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.